Welcome to The Author Show, where we present new authors and books. From fiction to self-help and everything in between, you'll find it all here. To watch the TV version of our program, visit AuthorsWebTV.com. That's AuthorsWebTV.com. And now, let the show begin with your hosts, Don McCauley and Danielle Hampson.
Hello and welcome back to the show. This is your host, Don McCauley. Today we're welcoming the program author Kim Dalfries. And Kim is the author of I Was in Love with a Short Man Once and Other Tales from a Crazy Southern Irish Gal. Kim, or Kimba as she likes to be called, is a native Floridian, but has spent the past 16 years pretending to be a Virginian. I Was in Love with a Short Man Once, an Amazon bestseller, is her first book. She's a graduate of Florida State University, and she lives in Fairfax, Virginia. Kim, how are you?
I'm terrific. How are you doing?
Let's start with a big question. Tell us about this book, please.
The book, I Was in Love with a Short Man Once, is a story collection. It's 30 essays that I told from my perspective, which is someone who's middle-aged, Irish, a little bit crazy, and a girl. There's three sections of the book. The first is what we call coming-up stories, which are stories about growing up in Florida in the 70s. The middle section of the book are called Jimmy stories, and those are stories about raising my son, Jimmy, obviously. And then the last section of the book are stories and essays of what we call the rest of the stories, which are just interesting, unusual, crazy things that have happened to me over my adult life.
Who did you write this book for?
Well, originally, I wrote it for my son, because he's an only child, and I wanted to make sure that there was some sort of written testament to what it was like raising him as a young child and also what it was like being a single mom for a time. What's interesting, Don, is that it evolved into being a little bit more of a tribute to my gal pals who have really held me up and been with me and been my best friends my whole life. And so even though it originally started as something that I wanted to have for my son, it became much broader in scope, talking about women's issues and gal pal issues.
So is there any type of central message or perhaps underlying theme that runs throughout the book?
I think so. I think that more than anything else, it showcases that everybody has stories to tell. There are some stories in the book that are almost mundane. There's a story about cleaning out a garage and finding a box of rubber bands. And there are other stories about riding the metro and crazy things that can happen when you use public transportation. And then there's big stories, such as 9/11, which was about being in D.C. on 9/11. But many of the stories are just mundane, everyday things that happen that can just take an interesting twist. And I think the central message is that everybody has those stories. Everybody has those events. Just getting those down in print and writing them down is something that everybody can do.
In the story Free Lunch, you discuss being bullied in middle school. Is being bullied today, in your opinion, any different from what you described that occurred 35 years ago?
Oh, absolutely. I think that it's become a completely different issue because of technology. And what I mean by that is you can be bullied online. Internet bullying has become a tremendous problem for our society. But also, technology has enabled children to provide evidence of what's happening to them. When you see these videos on buses and when you see these testimonies where there's phone pictures of what's happening to kids, they have evidence to go back to adults and tell adults, this is what's happening to me. And I think 35 years ago, we didn't have that. We just sort of lived through it because that's what you did. You sort of sucked it up and lived through it. And I don't think children today have to do that. And that's the message, is tell somebody what's happening to you. And I think that's very different than what we were dealing with three decades ago.
One story, 9/11, is clearly not meant to be funny. Do you think that this story reflects most of the 9/11 experiences that took place in D.C.?
I do, with one caveat. I certainly think that the people that experienced the trauma that happened at the Pentagon or on that plane, their experiences are very different than many of us. But for the million of us who were working in D.C., and just had to get through that day and get out of the city and get back to our loved ones in the suburbs or, you know, in the local area, it was almost like we were sleepwalking. Like, I've talked to folks, and on 9/11, the way we think of 9/11 is there, it's a line in the sand of time. And there's before 9/11, and there's after 9/11. And that day is sort of a marker for all of us. And I think that most of us who are in D.C. on that day have that marker really ingrained in our memories of everything that happened to us on that day.
Now, the story, Why It's Always Stupid to Play Stupid, paints a fairly positive picture of working for the federal government. Do you think that most people who work for the government would agree with your descriptions?
I do. I think that was one of the most rewarding things for me when I worked for the federal government for 6 years, is I was so surprised at how committed and devoted public servants are. There are people that arrived every day at 6 a.m. and did not leave the office until 7 p.m. and took work home with them and were incredibly dedicated to the cause and really wanted to make a difference. And I think sometimes that gets lost in the shuffle of sort of the day-to-day activities that people see most government employees doing. But I think overall, people that come to government come because they want to make a difference.
This is a nonfiction book. Do you believe that it could have been written as a fictional book?
I think it could have. That's a really interesting question. In the beginning, I actually considered making it fiction and sort of developing a fictional character, but it turned out that it was so much more fun for me to be able to reflect and describe everything that was going on from my real personal experiences. So yes, I think it could have been a fictional book, but I think actually in the end it reads so much better when people know that this actually, all of the stories in the book are based in fact.
You pay homage in the book to several female comedians as storytellers, Whoopi Goldberg and Lily Tomlin. Do you believe really that women can be funny?
I think the difference between men and women being funny is that men can be sarcastic and almost cruel, and they're not seen as being mean, they're just seen as being funny. Women walk a fine line because it's not as accepted for us to be sort of that dry, driving wit. We have to be very careful not to make sure we don't step over the line and become mean or mean-spirited. And I think that's where many of the very amazing comedians, the two that you mentioned, Whoopi Goldberg and Lily Tomlin, do it brilliantly, where they never come off as being mean or harsh. And I think that's probably the difference, but absolutely women can be funny, and there's so many talented, funny women out there that just make it seem effortless.
This being a nonfiction book, were any names changed or any other facts changed or altered in any way?
I didn't alter facts, but I did alter a few names. I have a good friend who is a college professor, and she didn't mind being featured in the book, but she wanted her name changed, so of course we did that. And then there are a couple other names that were changed just out of respect for people that didn't want their names in there. But in terms of facts, it's all based on fact. I did not change the facts at all.
The story 15 Seconds provides a detailed shot of working one day as an extra on a television series. Did you find that to be monotonous?
Yes, and it was so surprising. I totally wanted to be with the beautiful people and have this incredible experience where I get to meet these famous actors. And it is unbelievably mundane. You do the same shot over and over and over again. There was one scene that, you were going to walk across the room. That's all they were going to do. We shot it 22 times, and it took 3.5 hours. It was just crazy how difficult and mundane it was. We worked for 18 hours straight, and by the end of the 18 hours, everyone was just, there were about 1,000 extras there. We were so ready to go, and it completely got the acting bug out of the way for me. That's nothing that I'd ever want to do again. Had a great time, but it was so much more boring than I ever thought it would be.
The author picture in the back of the book is your school kindergarten picture. Why did you choose that picture?
That picture was sitting on my desk when I first started putting some of the stories on paper and started writing them. And that picture of me reminds me of who I was when I was a young person. And if you look at the picture, you can just see the mischief in my eyes. There's sort of a sideways glance as I'm looking off camera. And I just thought it was indicative of who I wanted to make sure I portrayed in the book. Mischievous, fun, sort of getting into trouble quite a bit. And so that picture really motivated me through quite a few of the stories. So at the end, I thought that would be the perfect picture to portray who I am and, you know, what I'm about in the book. I don't think for a second or a third book I'd use that picture, but for the first book, I think it fit perfectly.
Public speaking is often cited as the number one fear of most people, but in a couple stories in this book, you describe speech making as something that's thrilling and fun. What makes public speaking so difficult for all these people, in your opinion, and do you think that your book will help them overcome those fears?
Well, first, I think people are afraid of public speaking because people are afraid of failure. And they're more, even more than that, they're afraid of humiliation. And they don't ever want to be seen as foolish. I don't think the stories in the book will help them get over that fear, however, because even though I love public speaking, I love to be in public, the two stories that are in the book are reflective of things that can go terribly wrong during public speaking. And I think that they're funny, and when I reflect back on them, they were great experiences. But someone who has a fear of speaking will read those stories and think, this is why I don't do this, because look how humiliated this woman was. What I kind of hope they also get out of it is, yeah, I was humiliated, but I also had a great time. And at the end of each story, I'm laughing anyway. So I don't think it'll help them get over the fear of public speaking, but I think it might share with them that even in the worst of circumstances, it can still be funny and entertaining.
So is the book really about a short man?
It's really not. There is a story at the end of the book, the last chapter, that says, P.S., so what's the deal with the title? And it explains the title of the book so that you come to understand that the book's really not about a short man. But it's interesting, Don, when I decided on that title, I didn't think about it offending anybody. And I was at a cocktail party last year and got introduced to someone, and when he said, so what's the title of your book? I told him. He looked at me and said, yeah, good luck with that, and he walked away. And I realized that, because he was kind of short in stature, that it offended him. So I feel bad about that when I talk to some people, but it was in no way, shape, or form meant to be insulting to anybody. It was meant to be kind of funny. But also, to answer your question, the book's not actually about a short man.
So do you have, would you say, a specific writing style?
I would say that it would be called narrative. Told from someone that a compliment that I get quite often is someone who says, when I read your book, I felt like you were talking to me. So a narrative style, something that's sort of casual and informative and funny, but definitely more in a talking narrative style.
If you had to choose, who or what would you say influenced your writing the most?
I would probably say Irma Bombeck, who I think was just terrific and amazing. And when you go back and read her early columns, she wrote every week and it was effortless, and her columns were only 450 words long. And yet they always had an incredible message in such a short span of what she was able to write. And that's really influenced me to understand that you don't have to write pages and pages and pages to get across your theme or your story or your idea. You can make it succinct and funny and interesting in a page or in 500 words. So she definitely influenced my style a lot. I have reread Life is a Bowl of Cherries, So Why Am I in the Pits, probably 20 times in my life when I've needed sort of inspiration for writing. So I think she's definitely the person that I look to the most for help.
Other than selling your work, of course, is there anything else you hope to accomplish with it?
I guess what I've wanted to make sure more than anything else is that I want to preserve my view of my history in terms of how I view things happened throughout my life. One of the things that has happened in my family is when my Nana died, she took with her apple pie recipe. And there's been arguments across the family for years about Nana's apple pie recipe, and no one seems to get it right. And I've often thought, if she'd just written it down, if she just put it in writing, we would have it for posterity. So more than anything else, I'm glad that I have this book, which is my version of things that have happened in my life, and it'll be kept for anybody to be able to read and look at if they want to.
In your opinion, who should buy this book?
Anybody who wants to laugh. Anybody who wants to think that if life isn't worth it and my life is boring, read this book and you'll realize your life's not boring. You just need to look at it from a little bit of a different perspective. Most often, I think women will relate to the book because it is written from the perspective of a middle-aged woman. But Don, I have to tell you, I have gotten some response from men who have read it and said, I love this book. It's given me insight into the way you crazy women think, and I've also found it funny. So I think both men and women will enjoy it, but I think women probably gravitate to it a little bit more.
Well, time is getting very short, so the most important question, where can we buy this book?
I have an author's website. It is www.kimdalfries.com. It's also available on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, and through the publisher, who is Friesen Press.
Could you spell your last name for us, please?
Yes, DALFERES.
This has been Just Great. Our guest today has been Kim Dalfries, and she is the author of I Was in Love with a Short Man Once. Kim, thanks very much for being with us today.
Great. Thanks for having me.
This is Dawn McCauley wrapping up another edition of The Author Show. If you're an author or know an author, learn how you can help a publisher publish you by visiting helpapublisherpublishyou.com. Each week you receive a listing of publishers, small presses, and others who may be interested in publishing your work. This is a free service of The Author Show. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit www.theauthorshow.com. Fill out the form, and we may be contacting you shortly. And if you're an author, don't forget to visit Book Marketing, the Author's Marketing Powerhouse, at www.theauthorsmarketingpowerhouse.com. We look forward to seeing you here next time on The Author Show.
Thanks for listening to The Author Show. To contact us, call toll-free 1-877-955-8800. That's 877-955-8800. Or visit theauthorshow.com. That's theauthorshow.com. Tune in next time to another great author on The Author Show.